Welcome to the Tummy Whisperer. Hi, Renee.
Welcome. Hi, Janine. How are you?
Excellent. How are you?
I am great. I'm so excited to be here today. I have much to say about health, digestion, life, liberty, and the pursuit of wellness all over.
That's great. So what are we talking about today?
Yeah. So today we're going to be talking about how your skin is affected by your gut. So you mentioned earlier, you know, you are what you eat, which is the old school way of thinking, but it's really you are what you eat, digest, absorb, and detoxify. It's a whole ball of wax. So I'm super excited to talk about this today. Again, I'm Renee Barish. Welcome to the Tummy Whisperer podcast. And stay tuned. We've got lots of things going on for everybody who suffers with any kind of skin inflammations that start with rosacea, acne, eczema, psoriasis, you know, rashes, hives, all of it. So I am ready to dive in.
I am so excited. I have a million questions for you today, Renee.
Excellent. I have a million answers.
So when it comes to your skin, right, like everyone always talks about acne, adult acne, even when you're, you know, teenage acne, things of that nature. Talk to me a little bit about how that corresponds with, you know, what you eat, your digestion, everything that's involved in that. That's pretty fascinating to me.
So a lot of the skin issues are sometimes the same project, but when we're talking about something like acne, it depends on where it's coming from. So if it's like a true hormonal acne, where a lot of women will get it, the acne around the chin line, which is part of how I got into this field, right, as my hormonal acne cleared up after I started doing this work. But is it a hormonal issue causing the acne? Is it a detoxification issue? Is it something that somebody's eating and not digesting? Mm. So here's kind of the backstory. Your hormones are made in your liver. If the liver is clogged up with junk and toxins and undigested food particles and all the things that the liver has to do to manage and take care of, getting rid of the waste, it's going to start to cause an imbalance. So when the liver can't filter all that stuff out, it can circulate back into the bloodstream, it can go into the bowel, it can go into up into the sinuses. In fact, the sinuses are the very last stop in detoxification, according to my teacher, Dr. Loomis. So anything that's, again, circulating in the bloodstream and trying to get filtered out, can't get out, will end up here. So sinuses we'll talk about maybe next time. However, if that liver is overloaded and backed up, it's going to cause a few things. Again, the hormonal dysregulation or the inability to get rid of waste. If we just talk about those two things, how your body gets rid of waste, I want you guys to start thinking in terms of if you've never changed your garbage, the plastic bag in your garbage can, what would happen, right? It would get pretty gross pretty quickly. So that's the liver job. The liver job is to try to turn over and clean and filter. And when it can't, you're going to start to get some waste. And acne is really, it's waste. So that's how that starts. And then for some people, what they're eating can cause more of a response where it's disrupting their hormones, disrupting the delicate balance in their system, and then causing that acne. So that's really kind of acne in a nutshell. And then if you're a teen and you're eating crap, you know, then you are. But if it's adult acne or a hormonal acne, like, I don't know, Janine, are you not perimenopausal yet? Are you still get your period, correct?
That's such a good question because
if you don't mind me asking.
Well, that's
the world,
it's a great question because my best friend and I, one of them, were just having this conversation about how we hit 40, weight gain is, I mean, you know, 20s and 30s, you're able to lose weight so easily and whatnot. And because you have a lot of estrogen and you've got your hormones and all kinds of stuff. And then it just like drops. And now we're gaining weight and we're experiencing heavier flows that could, a lot of people are saying that are, you know, perimenopausal things like that. I don't know. So I don't know the answer to that.
I'm not sure. Well, and for some women too, the menstrual cycle regular for them is every 4 months. Even in their 30s, you know, so if you are still having any kind of cycle, regular or irregular, that is also a time for the hormones to be completely destabilized, depending on what's shifting and dipping. And while hormone regulation is not my field of expertise at all, I do work with the Nutritional Genomics Institute, who are fabulous at all the hormone stuff. My job is to help people with the digestive piece and clear out some of the organs so that everything can work better and hopefully stabilize those type of things. But yeah, the hormones are a big part of it. Now, for men who don't have that issue, they still get acne. So I had a client who came to me about a year and a half ago, and he never even put on his intake form that he had acne on his back until about a month into it. His wife told me, oh, his stomach is so much better, but his acne on his back is completely gone. And I was like, well, I never even knew about that. Well, she said he was too embarrassed to say anything. Understandably so. But clear skin just from actually adding a digestive balancer and changing the diet a little bit, because he was pretty clear with me. He wasn't happy about, you know, a couple of the diet changes. And again, it doesn't have to be this Herculean effort where, you know, we've got to change everything. You know, start small, see how the body responds to that threshold. Add a little bit more if your body's not responding. It's different for everybody. So that's acne basically there. For all the different ways it can show up, male, female, perimenopausal, preteen, all of it.
And I've noticed too that when I drink more water and I'm more hydrated, I have less acne. I don't know if that is that because I'm digesting better?
Washing out toxins. I mean, again, I'm getting personal. You agreed to do this with me. I mean, are you showering at least twice a week? You
know? Right? Sometimes. No, I'm just kidding. Yes.
A couple times a month.
It depends.
So you're washing your skin and your hair and your face. Your cells need a wash too. They need water. They need hydration. Some people overdo with the water. You can actually dilute your minerals and your, you know, your nutrients. But most people aren't drinking enough water. And the rule with water is truly your body weight divided in half should be the number of ounces, unless it's the middle of July and you're sweating your buns off and you need a little bit more then. But yeah, so you feel better, right? When you drink more water, you feel cleaner because you're washing your cells. Your cells need a wash too. Just like you're showering every day, your cells need a wash every day.
I'm so bad on the water, Renee. I got to get better with that.
You know what? I know we're talking about skin, but let's talk about water for 2.5 seconds.
Yes.
Most people don't drink water because it's boring or they're just not thinking about it. Or I hear, I don't want to get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, or I'm a teacher at work and I can't get up. All of the things, those are fine. However, your body's going to pay the price for it. So like I've got a glass of water at my desk and I just take some swigs. And if you're needing some water, you're already dehydrated. Like I can feel my tongue. Good girl, cheers. if you already, like my tongue felt a little dry, so I'm already dehydrated. Like I haven't had enough today and I can feel it.
How much water do you typically get in per day?
I don't even measure it. I mean, you probably have three of these big guys, you know.
That's good.
Yeah, but it's spread out. You know, I just fill it up and when I'm thirsty, I just drink more. Overnight, I'll drink some too. I mean, I'm thirsty in the middle of the night, which most people should be. And if you're not, you're an alien.
Ooh, I didn't know about that. Why is that?
I mean, you're breathing. Well, everybody's mouth breathing at night. And you're losing your water. You're losing your water. So you should be, especially in the wintertime when you have that dry heat blowing, you should definitely be more thirsty at night. But anyway, so that's water in a nutshell. But let's get back to the skin. Because I know there's more people that are curious about their rosacea or their psoriasis.
All of those things. So tell me a little bit about that. So rashes, rosacea, eczema, I want to talk about all of it. What would you like to talk about first, and how does that affect what you eat and your gut health? How does that affect, let's say, rashes and rosacea? We'll do the R's first.
Sounds good. And sometimes rashes and rosacea are the same project. So We look at what somebody's eating. If they're eating foods that are high in the wrong chemistry, and I mentioned histamines last week, and those are foods that can trigger a response of eczema, psoriasis, rashing and rosacea. And maybe not so much eczema or psoriasis, but rashing and rosacea for sure. That's the first place we look. What's somebody eating? Are they eating foods that are sparking this response, this cellular response in the body to all of a sudden have this sort of chemical Molotov cocktail, so to speak, where your skin is starting to show the inflammation? Inflammation is any kind of fever, redness, swelling, muscle contraction, right? Redness, this is what we're talking about now, redness, rosacea. And for a lot of the women, it's mostly women, but some men too, get this, the mask, the rosacea mask. We have to look at what's being eaten first and foremost. How's the body digesting what you're eating? And can the body get rid of that waste on a cellular level? And changing the diet is paramount for people that suffer with this inflammatory rashing and rosacea for sure.
So I didn't know that. I remember growing up and friends of mine would have rosacea and they would have almost that redness, you know,
the mask. Right.
Yeah. And growing up, people just went to a dermatologist and got a prescription for like Accutane or had, you know, like glycolic acid or some kind of fancy thing that they would go to get their face treated when really it's an
internal problem.
Correct.
And the dermatologists most of them don't really address that. And I even had a conversation with a client this morning. You know, her and her husband went through some scratch testing for their allergens, but then the allergist never even mentioned anything about looking at foods that are maybe trigger foods for them. And their diet was laced with these high histamine foods and they're having histamine issues. Mm. So yes, going to the doctor back in the day to treat something on the skin when you're not addressing what's going on internally, you know, is not the answer in my professional opinion. Not to mention, those treatments aren't always successful because people are still chasing these symptoms with this rosacea. I have an esthetician who refers her clients to me, and they all have a lot of the same issue. Rosacea, bloating, gas, distension, you know, gut issues, poor sleep, low energy, all related to chemistries of food, what you're eating, how your body's digesting it and being able to use it. And I don't even know that Accutane was for acne, and they still do use it. It's a very dangerous drug. And I'm not sure what they used for rosacea, but something, makeup, I guess. I don't know.
What is the name of that drug?
For rosacea?
Yes. Hold on.
I don't know, but it was a drug, right? It wasn't a topical?
Yeah, it was I think it was both. Wait, treatment for rosacea.
Rosacea.
There was something that was like super popular back in the day, back in like the 80s and 90s.
I mean, they should, if they were going to give a pill, they could have started giving like Zyrtec or Claritin.
Right?
Because a lot of times it's a histamine. It can be related to histamines. It can be a histamine issue. So, I mean, an over-the-counter Zyrtec could even help, you know, degradate some of those histamines and maybe help that. But no, they had some kind of freaking drug that probably caused 10,000 side effects.
It's so
interesting. Don't get me started there.
Yeah, I know. We're going to get into that in a whole other episode because it's just counterintuitive, right? You take a drug for something on your skin, let's say, for example, but then you have the side effects that cause issues with your skin. So then you have to take something else, but really it's your diet and you could have been, you know.
One of my mentors, Dr. Sean, told me, and I remember this such a long time ago, and it's so true that people are getting farther and farther away from their issue when they have one thing wrong and the doctor starts recommending a medication, because then you've got a side effect from that medication. You've got to take a medication for that side effect, and your body's all of a sudden in this crazy off balance kilter, and you've got more problems now than just the one problem you started with. And I'll never forget when he said that, because it made so much sense to me. And why not just address what's going in the pie hole, guys? It's easy. I mean, easy for most.
So true. So after rashes and rosacea, let's talk about eczema for a second. So eczema and your gut health, what's the correlation there?
Fatty acid deficiency. So fatty acids that are that people don't have enough of. It has to do with the liver as well, liver detoxification. But, you know, if you don't have enough fatty acids on board, you can end up with this. People get it a lot on their elbows. It's scaly. It's flaky. It's itchy. It's uncomfortable. I've never had it, thankfully, but it can be very, very painful. But there is a drug for it, so.
Of course there is, right? Absolutely. Why not? Like creams
and jingles for most
people put like Gold Bond and like any type of like loop, because it gets dry, right? Eczema gets dry.
Right, it gets dry.
So what kind of foods, is that a food issue or is that a digestion issue? Like what is that causes that?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, fatty acids, like something like evening primrose oil, which, you know, is a fatty acid. Flaxseed oil is a fatty acid. You know, there's a bunch of different fatty acids that you can add to your diet that can help with some of those skin issues, which is only one piece of the puzzle. Again, you guys are going to hear me repeat it over and over and over again. What you're putting in and how your body's breaking it down is also a very big piece of that, for sure. For sure. And then for some people, it can be a little more seasonal too, where they get more of an onset in the spring when the histamines are high in the air. And then their skin is reacting and everything is reacting. You know, even my vet for a rookie said to me, because he gets a little seasonal allergies, I give him a little quercetin in his food in the morning. And she said, get him on a little fish oil. And I did. I got him on Dr. Tobias's fish oil, and he's been doing great on that. And I haven't seen him have too much of a runny nose. But, you know, again, with fish oil too, it does have to be digested. You can't just start taking gallons of fish oil. People are taking, you know, 3 and 5 and 8 a day trying to chase a problem, but they're not considering that your body has to digest that fish oil and the body has to be able to use that fish oil.
There's nothing worse than burping up fish oil.
Fish oil?
It's the worst thing ever.
Yeah. Ever. It's a quick way to make enemies fast.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt.
You don't like, you know, pop some fish oil.
Awful. Or like cod liver oil. It's no bueno.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Definitely. So, but again, yes.
Oh, sorry. Ahead, so eczema, it's a combination of both. It's the digestion issue. It's the what you're putting in your body issue. So what kind of foods?
Lack of fatty acids. For eczema. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Other than the fatty acids, what can someone eat that might help with eczema?
They can try to add a little more flaxseed to their diet. So if they like smoothies or something, they can throw some flaxseed in there. That may help. Hemp seed, that may help. You know, it's never just a quick answer, but, you know, adding a little bit more fatty acid. And for some people too, they can get sensitive to certain things. Like I've had clients over the years tell me, you know, when I have hemp seeds, I definitely feel a little more whatever their inflammation is. But again, trying these things are not the wrong thing. But if you're trying these things and then have the understanding that there is more to it than just adding that, you know, then that's really the right way to start thinking about it. Evening primrose oil can affect the hormones, so you got to be careful with that. EPA is a algae, you know, it's a oil from ocean algae. So like a vegetable algae oil could be helpful as well too. You know, lots of things out there. Google if you have to.
I like that. And what about psoriasis? Because that can just get all kinds of out of whack, right?
Yeah. Eczema and psoriasis are the same. So my answer is pretty much the same for that. Psoriasis can be super, super painful. Again, a lot of times on the arms, legs, things like that. Fatty acid deficiency, poor liver function. For people that need very specific liver detoxification, I do recommend The Nutritional Genomics Institute, Laura is wonderful. Laura Kelly over there, she's great. She really understands what's called methylation, and all the girls do there as well. But methylation is really the if you think about, do you remember the toy, the Slinky? Remember the Slinky?
Love the Slinky.
Right. Remember when it would get stuck on one stair and you're like, shit, keep going. Right. It would get stuck. So that's what liver methylation or detoxification is when the Slinky gets stuck on one of those stairs, or you have a little hiccup in the liver that you're not metabolizing some of these nutrients and toxins out. So knowing the specific chemistry of your liver health is what they do, and they do very well. So that's, I do refer my clients to them for that specific work, because it can be really tricky for sure, but they're great at that. But on a general level, going back to the diet and the digestion, you know, a lot of times home run with that. So it really depends on how much of a toxic overload somebody has, what their environment is, what their emotions are doing as a result of them not feeling good, what kind of funk they're living in. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've walked into a house that has Glade plugins. So this is my public service announcement for those of you. For those of you who are you guilty? Guilty? Am I going to? Yeah. Okay. Are we?
I'm guilty. I'm guilty of Glade plugins. Please tell me.
Yeah.
Tell me.
Well, it's okay. Well, first we can no longer be friends, but that's okay. I'm so teasing you. Second of all, they should be illegal. And third of all, it is a chemical Molotov cocktail. They're chemicals. I mean, they are made from, there's ammonia as stabilizers in there. There's stuff that you can't pronounce. And I'm like the barometer for toxins in the environment. So if I'm near somebody that has like some perfume, I'm kind of like, whoop, you know. And again, people are trying to get their homes to smell nice. I respect that. I understand wanting your home to smell like, you know, cinnamon bread in the wintertime. It's fun. It's great. You have company over. But like the, you know, the Bath and Body Works stuff, that is really, truly for the devil himself. So I think he created that company, Bath and Body Works.
What about essential oils?
Essential oils are a way better choice in terms of toxicity. That you got to use a company that doesn't have any of that crap in there. And there's a lot of companies out there. There's doTERRA. Young Living actually have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a client. I have a client who's got very clean oils, and I can actually put it in the chat, or we can put it in there at some point. But yeah, essential oils are a way, way, way better, a way better choice. In fact, my old neighbor has a beagle. It's a Ricky's best friend. His beagle bestie, and he has seizures. The beagle has seizures, and beagles are prone to seizures. But I walked into her house after meeting her for the first time, and she had the plugins in, not even knowing, and took them out, and the dog was pretty good for a while. And she was selling her house, and the agent said, make the house smell good. And she said, I'll just put them in one time. The dog had a seizure.
What?
And so, yeah. I mean, they're effing toxic. I mean, they're so toxic. So that's going to back up the liver, and that's going to can cause skin issues and headaches and vision issues and so much stuff. So definitely, Janine, I'm going to recommend to you as your friend.
I don't have any in currently, if that makes you feel any better. I haven't had them in for months.
Well, the other thing is too, you've got the chalupas. Janine has two beautiful Shih Tzus.
I do.
And we don't want to poison those babies. Otherwise, I'm going to have to steal them from her.
Yes, because they're like my love. I just got them a new playpen. They're my love and joy. So no, I would never do anything to damage their little souls. Because I
don't keep the plugins out. You'll be doing them a huge service because they shouldn't have to breathe that in.
Even the Bath and Body Works like wallflower things. Those are bad too.
Anything from Bath. There's nothing natural about Bath and Body Works. Other than they should have a pitchfork as their logo. I'm sorry. My stepdaughter, who I adore, loves, you know, likes the Bath and Body Works. And when I used to live, you know, up north, we'd go to Old Orchard and we would walk by the, you know, it's outdoors. And she would say to me, okay, Renee, you go over there to walk by it because they blow the fragrance into the open area and it literally would hit me. And I'd be like, oh, for me, it triggers a feeling of burning on the brain. It's a brain burn when I get a chemical hit. So back to the skin, because we went how you and I always do. Glade plugins should be taken out if you want to make your house smell lovely. Essential oils, clean ones are a great choice. Highly recommend them. Look up the ones if you have dogs and cats or certain ones that are not safe for pets. So just you can Google those and make sure you're not using like diffusing peppermint. I think that's bad for cats. And I think cinnamon is not good for dogs. I'm not sure. I always have to look it up. I don't use diffusers at all since getting Rook. I just don't. I just put some lavender on me and he hates lavender, which is so funny. So if he's chewing on something, I put like a little drop of lavender on there and he's like, oh, mommy, you suck.
That's so, like you made me think so much because going back to Bath & Body Works, which we'll never get as a sponsor now. Not that we'd ever want to, but peace.
Sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, if they would clean up their act, you know?
No, anyway. But think about that. Not only are we plugging things into the wall to put in our air, we're lathering our skin, going back to that. We're lathering our bodies with lotions and oils that I probably don't know the ingredients or I couldn't tell you what they were. And I sure as hell don't want to put them anywhere near my skin now after this conversation, you know?
For sure. It's eye-opening. And I mean, the people that I've shared this information with, like you, they're like, you know, I didn't know. And when you don't feel bad and you don't have, like for me, I can't be near that stuff. It hurts me so bad. I literally could just be going into a throwing up migraine and in tears rolling on the floor like a child because it hurts so bad. So for people that don't have that, they're not even thinking about it. So it's okay. But it's just information. This is just information. And the people that I give the information to, they're usually grateful because they're not really even thinking about it. Remember, we're thinking about in terms of better health for yourself, your pets, your chalupas, your little babies.
So true. Thank you for that. So no Bath and Body Works, and it's terrible for your skin anyway. So yeah, Exxon.
You can get an unscented cream, put some lavender oil in there, you know, slather it on. I mean, whatever oil you want.
That's
so
true.
I like smelling good. I don't want to smell like armpit odor or whatever.
Yeah, that's not good either. Armpit odor is definitely, it's a turnoff. What about hives? Speaking of things we put on our skin that can be irritants, like I've broken out in hives before from an allergic reaction to plants. I'm allergic to Malaleuca bark and Australian pine. And Malaleuca was overflooded here in South Florida. They tried to kill it and get rid of all of it. But I mean, hives all over my body from that. But when people have hives, what in their gut is going on exactly?
I'm going to respond to that, but I'm going to also say back to the essential oil things, be careful too. Melaleuca, as you're mentioning, you're highly allergic to. If you put anything out with Melaleuca, you'll be in trouble. So again, do your research, guys, and start with one drop of something on your bottom of your foot to make sure you're okay. For sure. So hives, again, my dear sweet husband, my Mark, came to me because he was having a hive issue and he had a knee surgery years ago. And coming out of knee surgery with all the anesthesia, which takes good boy, Rook. It's okay, bro. It's okay. Hey, Mark, can you get that? I'm trying to run my podcast. Go on, Rook. Go on.
We're puppy friendly here on the Tummy Whisper, if you didn't already know. Yes, we love dogs, and this podcast is only for people who love dogs. No,
yeah.
Just kidding, but probably.
Of course it is.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Mark? Okay, good. Mark's on a Zoom call. We're all good. Good boy, Rook. Hey, enough. Shh. Ricky Tookie. Enough. Enough. Shh. Rook, shh.
We'll edit this whole part out of the audio.
Okay. Yeah,
we'll edit.
Sorry about that.
No, it's okay. We'll edit that out.
Okay. You can keep one bark if you want.
I didn't even hear him bark. I didn't hear it. No.
You didn't hear him go crazy? You heard me go, Rook, enough. Okay.
No, I didn't. I love, my dogs bark all the time when I'm doing a live stream, and my cat will literally go on my computer screen and go above. It's hilarious. Like, I'm just like, it's an animal farm. It's a zoo. Like, what do you, you know?
Oh, feel free to keep whatever you think is cute. Okay, I'm good there.
Perfect. No need to edit. We'll do whatever. Okay.
We'll do whatever. Okay, so back to my husband.
Yes.
Who came to me with hives from his knee surgery, trying to clear the anesthesia. He was having daily hives, arms, neck, shoulders, parts, unmentionable parts that I'm going to mention. I mean, like, everywhere he was having hives. And it wouldn't be until we changed his diet, put him on a gluten-free diet, because gluten's high in histamine. That started to help a lot, but we changed the diet as well to take out more histamines, which took care of his hives. I mean, if he gets a hive now, if he works out, it's once in a while. It may be once a month, and it's so short-lived. So very, very, you know, seldom. Very seldom. But yeah, hives are one of those things that's an internal to external for the most part. Unless, of course, you've rubbed up against poison ivy, then we know why you're getting hives.
I had an allergic reaction to my skin one time from, remember when perms were popular, like in the 80s and 90s?
Yes.
They never cleaned it out properly. And I took a shower because after the third day, you're supposed to rinse it out. And it went all, the solution went all over my body. I'm in the dorms at Florida State University in the dorm.
Oh.
I had to have someone carry me to the infirmary because I was in excruciating pain from perm solution.
That's horrible. Perm
crazy.
Solution. I mean, what, you know, and you know the smell of it. It's strong. You can burn your nose hairs out.
Terrible, terrible. And
yeah,
dark circles too. You were talking a little bit about that with your skin and your appearance. So how does that relate to your gut health?
So my teacher, Dr. Loomis, taught us early on about dark circles, and it's not what you think. People think I don't get enough sleep, and maybe that's a big part of it, or they're eating something weird, and that is a big part of it too. But what the dark circles are, typically, the kidneys. It's really has to do with how the kidneys are cleaning and filtering the blood. So your kidney's job is to clean and filter the blood 7 to 10 times an hour. It's a very busy organ. And there's a lot of blood for the kidneys to clean and filter. And if there's toxins and debris and undigested food particles in their bloodstream through via the leaky gut, the kidneys are going to get backed up. And when the kidneys get backed up, it can cause that shadowing and the bags and the dark circles, along with, of course, not enough sleep and other things, you know, inflammatory foods and things like that. But if you think about it in terms of inflammatory foods, that's going to, of course, affect the kidneys. You know, like what, like a donut. Let's just take let's pick on donuts for a minute, which are like super delicious, right?
But so good.
A donut has, right, gluten, wheat, sugar, fat, probably other stuff in there. So much for the body to try to handle for certain people. This is not everybody. There are people out there that are very robust and very healthy and can handle a lot, but certainly not the people that come across my desk. But you're asking your body to do a lot there. And if you've got a little bit of a leaky gut and those undigested carbohydrates spill on through and it leaks into the bloodstream, you've got all this stuff happening, that's where you're going to start to get the dark circles. So people with chronic dark circles start looking at poor carbohydrate metabolism. You're not possibly digesting your carbs very well. Now, it doesn't mean you take them out. It means we have to start looking at different carbs and breaking them down better. A lot of people worry, do I have to stop eating this, that, or the other? Sometimes, yes. Most of the time, no. We just look at digesting it better, if that makes sense. It
absolutely.
Takes away some of that response, that cellular response to the body not being able to digest what's going in.
That is absolutely insane. I had, again, no idea because I've had dark circles forever and I live, if I didn't have concealer, I don't know what I'd do because.
Concealer. Yeah.
You know, just.
As long as your concealer isn't from Bath & Body Works.
It's Clinique and it's dermatologist tested, you know, it's supposed to be like, woo, you know, but.
Yes, Clinique. Okay.
Who knows at this point, you know? Like, who knows?
Yeah, exactly.
It's got SPF in it.
I mean,
hey.
There's something.
Right?
The other thing, too, is kidneys and lymph. Your lymphatic system is also part of that kidney dump. So the lymphatic system is the end of the line for getting rid of toxins. So when we see that those dark circles, of course, we know the kidney, as I mentioned, but your lymph system too. And I'm going to encourage you guys that are listening to me, and I'm so grateful that you guys are here spending some time with me and Janine. Look up lymphatic breathing techniques. There's some easy, simple ones. In fact, I probably should just do the one that I was taught. It's super, super easy. If you start breathing, just even taking a breath in, inhaling, extending the neck to your comfort level, and then exhaling, dropping the chin down, you're going to start opening up this neck cascade here and start to push some of that lymph. And then for those of you that want to do more, you can add some arms. So what it looks like is inhale, chin up, arms up, exhale, drop the chin, drop the arms. Should we do one more together? Feels
yes,
good, right?
Let's do it.
Okay, inhale, chin up, arms up, and just go to your comfort level for those of you that have stiff necks, and also go to your chiropractor. Drop the arms down and exhale. And if you do 5 or 10 of those after you eat, you have better digestion, definitely, because you're giving the diaphragm some room. The diaphragm is all sticky on people, and it's just kind of crunched down in there, and nothing moves, and you can't get good digestion. Then you're getting constipated, or you're getting diarrhea, or you're getting bloated, and you're feeling like shit, right? So move a little bit. Move your arms. Breathe. And you can also just turn the neck a bit, you know, left, right.
Wow.
Left, right. Chin up, chin down. Shoulder circles, shrugs, you know, anything. Move. Get moving.
So when people take a walk after dinner, for example, is that good to do or is that?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah. A nice slow walk is perfect. You obviously don't want to be doing like a brisk walk, but nice neighborhood walk, looking at the sunset. Perfect. Take the chalupas out, take Rick out, take
Yay.
The dogs out.
Puppy
Absolutely.
Party.
Puppy party. And if Mark always says, I'll take Ricky out after dinner. And I say, wait for me. I'll do the dishes and we'll all go together. And we do a nice neighborhood walk. We have 2 full miles around our neighborhood here. And we at least do one of them at night. So it's great. Walking is wonderful. And two, I don't want to leave people out who, you know, have physical impairments and they really can't walk because they have knee issues or back issues, but get creative, sit in your chair and just shrug your shoulders. If you can't lift your arm because you got shoulder issues, shrug, just be like, I don't know.
How does that help with your gut health?
Because you're opening up your rib cage, you're opening up your diaphragm. Things aren't just stagnant. The worst thing that you can have in your body is stagnation. That's how acupuncture works. It opens up all those different areas of stagnation, which is why acupuncture works beautifully. I highly recommend acupuncture. And those of you who are listening, love your acupuncturists. We all love our acupuncturists. So you don't want to have stagnation in the body. You want to have things open and moving and flowing. You want to think about a flow. And flow as best as you can for everybody out there. Do what you're capable of doing. So, you know, in terms of better health, better skin health, better digestive health, again, just a repeat of what goes in, how the body breaks it down. Is there stagnation? Are you not moving? Are you stuck at your desk on your laptop? Looking at your phone. I mean, I'm guilty of sitting there at my phone like this. And I know my neck's like, hey, what about some breathing? So I'm reminding myself to breathe, right? And it takes just minimal effort. And if you can do it after a meal, take 1 minute to do some deep breathing after a meal, even just deep breathing for those people that can't do a lot of movement. Take a deep breath, open up your rib cage, give the diaphragm some room, exhale, blow it all out. you breathe in the good and blow out the bad and life is good.
I love that. And I feel so much better. Even I feel like I digested lunch with that. So thank you.
See, and hopefully I saved you money on a bottle of digestive supplements.
I mean, it's as simple as that. No, this has been great, Renee. Like this has been such a great eye-opening episode.
Good. I'm so glad. And I have so much to talk about. I'm super excited. I'm so glad I'm doing these podcasts because I know there's people listening that it resonates for them. You know, even just if I say one thing, it's like, you know, I've been thinking about that. I'm not feeling this way. I never kind of don't know where to go. Don't know what to do. Doctors don't know. And I'll in closing, leave one message about your doctor. If you are not having any symptoms, just had a client the other day, she's got Crohn's she's got colitis. Mm. She's been symptom free working with me. She's feeling great, better than ever. She went to get, you know, just follow up with her doctor. He recommended her doing a test. They found some SIBO, which is an acronym for small intestinal bacteria overgrowth. She's feeling great. They put her on the antibiotic for the SIBO, which is, in my opinion, wrong. And she took it because it's the doctor saying it. And again, I'm not here to go against the doctors. I'm here to keep it real. If you're feeling good, why on earth would you put a medication in your body? When antibiotics can be very helpful, but they also create issues. They're knocking everything out. So anyway, she's fine. But, you know, again, be your own health advocate. Ask questions. Ask your doctor the right questions if you're more medical minded. And if they don't have answers for you, start looking in terms of what you're eating and how it's affecting your skin, your sleep, your energy, your emotions, you know, your daily life.
Absolutely. My friend left us a comment. He says, "I'm too sexy for my shirt. So sexy, it hurts." Thank you, Justin.
Well, if it hurts, then you got your shirt at Bath & Body Works. It's probably made of like plugins.
That is awesome. And I don't think I'll ever shop there again, FYI. Good. So
good.
I lost a customer today, but hey, you know, what are you going to
do? Oh, they have plenty of other ones. Trust me.
Love it.
But yeah, this has been a pleasure. I'm so glad to be able to share information and knowledge with you guys. And hopefully who's ever listening can at least, you know, reach out to me anytime at thetummywhisperer.com. You know, leave comments here, find me on Facebook and pick my brain. I love helping people. It is my joy and my passion to help people feel better.
And follow Renee, like, follow, share on Apple, Spotify, leave her a 5-star review. It goes a long way in the podcast ecosystem. Show some love. And yeah, that's what I got. This has been great.
Thank you, Janine.
Thank you. All right. So are we good for the day? Are we good?
Good for the day. If you're still talking to me after Bath & Body Works.
No, totally good. All right, folks. That's a wrap.